Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, it's another episode of the MI Ice Guys. Kind of wrapping things up today. Ice is leaving us really rapidly. A lot of sunshiny days have been out there, and the guys have even gone off to the rivers a bit. Pretty much the ice is gone down here around Grand Rapids, and even up there, Howard Tuckey Land, it's pretty much shot.
Gone. Especially yeah. That last rain we had.
Chad, where's the latest you found any ice?
Well, there was ice in Maine and Steve when we were up there, but it left while we were there.
It left while we were there. Yeah, that's getting to be the thing that happens during the day you do it. And don't be that guy like those idiots always out on Lake Erie that out there in the Coast Guard's got to go get them. Don't be that idiot, all right? You make the news, and it's not good for our sport. But, you know, we went up a couple of weekends. Yeah, last weekend, I think it was, to the Ludington area. We thought we were going to get on, and unfortunately, the edges left overnight.
Yeah, we tried to get on to Hamlin, but if you had a pair of waders to get out to some good ice.
Waders, a stepladder to climb back up to the ice. Yeah, it would have been complicated. So instead, we went and bought some jerky and went and had a beer. That's called right. It a good day. But now some of the guys are still reporting some good ice up in the UP, though. And, you know, still needing the auger extensions up there. It's been a heck of a year with ice thickness and stuff. Now, you guys talked to anybody up there recently?
I haven't talked to anybody there, but people in other states that are still catching lots of nice big fish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys were talking about the guys out in North Dakota there.
Yep, I'm going to go. She's catching one-pound bluegills.
Wow. Wow, hogs. That's really good. I did talk to a guy the other day that had taken his little boat off and worked the edge of the ice. And he was getting some nice gills that day. And they were just kind of darting in and out over the shade of the ice. Yep. So that's an interesting way to ice fish, you know, without having to actually drill a hole. But you do have to put the boat on the trailer to go out there. Now, one of the other things that since our last episode that we wanted to talk about was the World's Team. And the Team USA, the Ice Team USA, held their open tryouts. Now, we've talked about this before. They go over to Wisconsin, and the guys go through a number of challenges to compete to get on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, Chad, can you break down for us what events do they put you through? Because I know you've done this a number of years now.
Well, this year they wanted to make sure everybody could drill a hole. So we had to drill 10 holes through about, they didn't make us complete the hole, but it was really slushy. I think we ended up drilling about 24 inches every hole. It was stopping power augers and drills. It was stopping anything.
Oh, sure. I believe it.
You were damaging ice fishermen.
We bent handles.
Oh, I believe it. Well, yeah. Didn't you kind of screw up your shoulder a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I've been going to physical therapy.
Yeah. So ice fishing injuries. I bet, you know, most guys with their ice fishing injuries, it's a, you know, sore bum from slipping because they didn't wear their Cthulhu's.
Yep, and then we did some head-to-head, you know, you could fish as close to each other as you wanted on a crib, which is, you know, a structure down there. You could fish 2 inches from each other if you wanted to, and whoever caught, as soon as you caught one fish, you had to move to the other crib, and then you could catch two fish there, or... Well, actually, I think they made you run back and forth. You catch one on each crib. Whoever caught three fish the fastest won. We did that heads up against everybody. And then the next heat, we did just catch 25. But every time you caught a fish, you had to go to another crib. You had to run, I don't know, like 10 yards, something like that, 20 yards.
So the Team USA has a real passion about keeping the athletic nature of this sport up.
Yeah, they wanted to get younger and a little bit faster, you know, being able to move hole to hole, because some countries you need to, some countries you don't. We don't know what we're going to get into in Finland. You know, we could catch all our fish out of one hole, but they're planning on running, catching one or two for three straight hours, being able, you know, running between holes.
Well, that's a good way to be prepared, because the alternative is pretty easy then, especially if you're in the shape where you can jump up, run. Pop a hole and get another one.
Yeah, usually you drill your holes for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then you run through them for the rest of the heat. And then we did a couple of them catch your 25 or catch and release, your fat, you know, the most fish you can catch in 3 hours, stuff like that.
Just, right, right. Now, how many guys come out for that competition?
We didn't have
a tryout.
I'm not sure how many we had this year. Not very many.
20, 25?
Oh, I don't even think there was that many this year. Nobody wanted to drill holes through that ice.
Oh, I can imagine. That's just rough stuff.
It wasn't fun.
Yep. So with all that heavy ice out there and everything else, it kind of weeded them out and everything. But we did have a good representation from Michigan that I see on the listing on Facebook that they're qualified.
Yep, three of the top five are going to be from Michigan, and then I think we have two or three more Michigan guys going to help out, be coaches and spotters and reserves, whatever.
Well, Steph's on this year.
Yep, Steph's going to be my spotter.
All right, we got the Sissel Schaub team back in action together. That ought to be a wild one.
Yep, he gets to travel to Finland with us and be my personal spotter.
Don't tell his girlfriend that there's some hot chicks over there in Finland. I want to go, too.
I've heard they're not that good looking, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, your wife keeps telling you that, I know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those of you interested in that, she is sitting in studio laughing at him today while we're recording. But it is kind of cool that we have so many great fishermen here in the Great Lakes State that are being recognized. You know, we've got one that's on the coaching staff and... you know, as we said, a number of the guys that are...
Three of the five fishermen are
Michigan. Of the five fishermen are Michigan guys. And we've got at least one spotter, maybe another one that they're talking about that's going to be on the team as well. And that's a lot of great pride for us guys that fish every day in Michigan and never get to go to Finland and Belarus and North Dakota and places like that.
South Dakota.
Is the... ice that much thinner in South Dakota?
No, it's still thick.
It's still thick, yeah. But, so, you know, one of the other things that we kind of wanted to talk about today is, you know, when you go out to do those training things and things, you've got practices coming up in the next season.
Yeah, we'll be practicing in, I don't know, either December or January. I think it's December. We'll go up there and practice, you know, movement and go over stuff with the spotters, what we want to hear, and, you know, just kind of train, I guess. I don't know, drill lots of holes, feed, go back and fish them, kind of run through them as fast as you can, pretty much.
Well, if we need to do, like, sprints or something, Steph and I have got some friends that work over at some places that have some sub-zero cold rooms with long aisles in them. We can get you running in the cold in your ice suit.
Finland might be really cold. There's a good chance that Finland's going to be bitter.
That's in northern Finland, right?
Yeah. It's in northern Finland. It's going to be, it could be crazy.
Yeah, we could do some crazy things. Now, for those of you guys listening, we want you guys to make sure that even though it's summer and the ice gear is away and everything, pay attention to our Facebook site and our website, miiceguys.com. Because we are planning on maybe doing a cookout or something. We're trying to work out the details and figure out what we can do. We're going to raise a little money because flying to Finland is not free. The team does not have huge sponsors that pay for everything. So we're going to have some good times in the middle of the summer. Yeah. Drink a little beer, maybe roast a hog, have a good time, talk some ice fishing stories. You'll get to meet the guys. And we want to just, like we said, raise a little bit of money for that.
Probably have some giveaway stuff.
Too. Oh, yeah.
Some raffle stuff.
Now, we do have some great sponsors for both the Ice Guys and for Chad and Steph's team that donate a lot of product for us. And if you've run into Steph and I out on the ice while Chad's been gone, we've been giving away a lot of jigs and things like that to people. If they don't seem to be catching them, you know, after we're getting close to our limit, we're like, here, this is what you ought to use. And that's been a lot of fun this winter as we've been going through catching a heck of a lot of fish. Now, we got to talk about our last trip. Now, Steph and I mentioned that our last trip was we tried to go to Hamlin, but our last successful trip was on Reeds. And we had to be a little creative getting out onto Reeds, but we got out there and we caught some fish. And, you know, all the naysayers that sit around the bar and tell you, oh, it's 40 degrees out there. There's got to be no ice left. Well, I drilled a hole.
It was 60 degrees. We were out there fishing. It was awesome.
Yeah, 20 inches of ice still.
Yeah, the ice, it takes a while to lose the ice.
Right. Yeah. Now, Chad, where was your last trip?
Right by my house. I don't really want to say the name of the lake.
Oh, Sneaky Lake number 3?
Something like that.
All right. Well, anyway, he gets out. He lives in a great little community where he can walk to about 5 lakes. And I know that doesn't narrow it down in Michigan, but it's a great environment for a professional ice fisherman like Chad. Well, guys, when we come back, we're going to talk about maintenance stuff that needs to happen here in the spring. And you've been listening to the MI Ice Guys, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. Hey, this is Chaz. I'm the beer engineer at Schmoe's Brewing. We're located in Grand Rapids. That's Beer City, USA. We're just over on the east side of town, Patterson, just north of 28th Street. Maybe you've seen our Brewer's Six that's out there in the market for you. It's got 6 different beers in 1 6-pack. Treasure Chest, Bone Crusher, Pale Ale, Amber Tees, India Pale Ale, and our ever-popular Hop Knocker Imperial IPA. Now, if you want to go to a party and impress people, that's where you go. Welcome back, guys. Hey, Chad, Steph, and Chaz, all 3 of us today, all the MI Ice guys, we're in the studio. Kind of wrapping up the season, and one of the important topics that we were all discussing earlier is winterizing that equipment, or not winterizing, summarizing that equipment. It's kind of a different thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But to make sure that your equipment's in good shape when you go to dig it back out next fall, there's some things that you want to do, some things you want to really make sure of. Now, I think one of the big things on my mind is your auger. Now, I took and cleaned up the blades and put some silicone spray on them.
Give them a little coat of WD-40 or something before you put them away.
Yep. Just something to make sure they're not going to rust over the summer in the humidity. And
yep, drain the gas out of the power augers.
Yep, drain the gas out of the power auger. If there's oil that can be changed on it, maybe get that done in the spring instead of waiting until the fall and middle of your deer season.
Your batteries and your fish finders, take them out.
Yep, take the batteries out of the fish finders. And, you know, it's a good point. Over the summer, you know, you might want to do a little maintenance charge on those. Yep, don't just leave them lay, otherwise you're going to be out spending another $30.
It's best to set yourself a little Outlook alert or some kind of alert on your phones to let you know, like, you know, 2 months have gone by, hey, charge your ice fishing batteries up so they doesn't die on you, and then you can't charge it after buying a new one.
Right. And those little lead acid sealed batteries aren't that expensive if you do screw it up, but boy, it sure save you the price of a case of beer if you do take care of it.
Usually the night before that you figure it out, too.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're running around town and you're going to pay the high price and not able to jump on Amazon to go get it.
You got to be able to find one, too.
Right.
Not everybody carries them.
Now, when Steph and I were driving home from our event last weekend, we were talking about, you know, hey, we're finally going to have time to go through the jig box and straighten out the jigs, sort them by color and size so that they're ready to be found. And, you know, Steph's got to take a little inventory to see how many thousand more he can buy this summer, because as soon as, you know, it gets warm everywhere, they're going to go on sale, and he can't pass up a sale on the internet.
Oh, no.
He's probably going to buy a lot in Finland.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
He can't get. That's probably where most of his money will go.
I expect to get a care package back when you guys get home from Finland. A
couple palm rods.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to worry about them.
The wrap rods.
The jigs. Ah, screw them things.
Now we're already arguing over equipment. That's great. But, yeah, sorting it out that it is a good time of the year to maybe start thinking about ordering some plastics and restocking your kitty of those if you've burned through a bunch of those and tear them up, lose them on the ice, whatever it happens to be.
Usually there's probably some good sales right now, too.
Yeah. And
stuff out.
You know, if you're on the email list for a couple of these online retailers, they're going to be sending those blowout emails. So it's a good thing to sign up on those guys.
End of season clearances, they like to lose that inventory so they can gear up for spring and summer fishing. So it's a great opportunity to pick up a Shanny, electronics.
Yep.
You can save up to more than 50% sometimes on that.
You did a Thorn Brothers on one of your Shannies, I think.
Yeah.
And suits.
Well, I know I was over to Allen Bob's here in Grand Rapids the other day, and they had the bin out already full of all kinds of miscellaneous stuff. See, it, you know, it never hurts to go to the shop and the bait shop and look around. You might find 2 or 3 real gems in that thing before everybody picks it over too much. Another thing that we mentioned. Now, Chad, he's not a high proponent of this, but Steph and I, we try and keep our stuff a little bit better. Cleaning our suits. Now, Steph and I, we talked about this, and you know, you want to use kind of a mild detergent, and a lot of these suits have a plastic vapor barrier or something inside, and not to mention they're really heavy.
Well, if you talk to your mom, a pool liner on the inside. Oh,
yeah, yeah, there's a pool liner on the inside. They're so thick and windproof. But, you know, wash them kind of on a, you know, but don't run them in the dryer.
No, do not dry them.
You're going to shrink something up. Now, I went, and when I did mine the other day, I actually built a hanger because I wanted, you know, arms out. It's a giant scarecrow to hold my suit so that it would dry without getting any kind of funky mold or anything. You know, wet fabric against wet fabric is going to be bad. I wanted some ventilation through it and hung that up down in the basement. And that way I know that it's going to be dry. It's going to be ready for next year.
Keeps intruders out of your basement.
Yeah, the big monster man down in the basement scared the little kids.
After that suit gets nice and dry, it's a great opportunity to throw a little fresh coat of water repellent on it.
Yeah, you were telling me about that water repellent. Now, is it a specific kind, or do you just use any kind of aerosol water repellent?
This one's on a spray bottle. It's like
a little pump thing?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
especially made for the breathable fabrics.
Yeah, go down and ask where you bought your suit about what they recommend, what they stock for a protectant to spray on there. Now, another thing that I plan on doing as soon as that suit's dry, and I know it's going to take a couple days to dry that, I'm going to just go tuck some dryer sheets in there. Now, I learned this back in my boating days, that if you use those dryer sheets, it keeps the spiders out. Well, probably all the critters from making a home in your
mice
suit.
Mm-hmm.
And which brings me to the other point about cleaning out your pockets and your bait pucks.
Yeah, bait pucks.
Good. Yeah, ask Chad about that.
Yeah, don't leave them in the house all summer because they might have a hatch.
I'll leave them in Steph's house.
I just opened one the other day, had some flies in it.
And he's like, close it quick.
Took it outside and threw them out.
Yep, clean the bait puck up, clean up a few of the other things.
They were alive.
Oh, I believe it.
No oxygen, nothing in there, sealed bait puck. And they're like crawling around alive, big old blowflies.
Yeah, they were big.
It was like, back outside with them.
Yeah.
It won't be the last time. But.
Nah.
No, that's better than the hatch happening in the closet in the middle of the winter.
Bloodworms.
Yeah.
For people that go overseas, bloodworms, they stink. Make sure you rinse them out.
Oh, my God.
Ask Becca on that.
So
you throw those ones away.
When you go through and you, now that you've got all your stuff cleaned, dried, oiled up what needs to be oiled, you've taken care of it, storage, you got to think about where you're going to store this stuff. A lot of it, you know, you've got cases, maybe a guard that it shipped with, things like that, or like with the suits, getting a proper hanger for it.
Rod bags.
Yeah, you don't want to break all your rods or lose all your stuff.
And you don't want to leave them somewhere where somebody else in the house might throw something on top of them, you know, especially if you have children or a wife that does nice fish, things like that. So you want to be careful to put your things away. Now, there's a lot of, if you don't have rod tubes or things like that and haven't invested in those, a lot of times just those FedEx boxes or the drawing tube boxes that you can get from UPS and stuff are a good way to put your rods and some of those long fragile things into, and they're not going to get crushed.
Yeah, you don't want to have to buy all new rods every year.
No, that gets kind of pricey and can cut short your beer budget on that. But also another point that we had and we wanted to touch on a little bit is kind of set your wish list. You know, do you want a new flasher? Do you want a new suit? Are you thinking about a new quad? Whatever it is in that ice fishing stuff. So you can start your little savings plan.
Any trips that you're planning on.
If you're going to Finland to watch the worlds.
Equipment,
you know,
upgrades. You want that
like
new
that.
Flasher.
Yeah.
Or an upgraded flasher. Look for people selling their ice fishing stuff on eBay or whatever this summer.
Yeah.
Because some people might, you might get a good deal out there.
And if you're going for the newest, latest, and greatest stuff like stuff, you know, you just got to kind of start setting aside a little money here and there so it isn't quite as painful when you go pull the trigger and buy that new Can-Am quad and things like that. So it's just things to be mindful of as we're getting into the off season. Now, I'm going to stump you guys with one little question here before we close out this segment. What is the one piece of ice fishing equipment that you get to use all year round?
Probably your jigs. You can use them pan fishing all year.
What do you use all year round, Steph?
We found useful to use the flasher year round over the side of the boat, finding suspended fish in the summertime and fall.
Yeah, we did that a lot in the fall, but the jigs in the spring, summer, fall, they'd work good too.
Now, my thought on it was using your GPS on your phone and marking some waypoints. When you're out there finding those suspended fish or the weed beds or locating a crib or something like that, make a note of it.
Right before ice goes on, too, that'd be a good time to go find the green weed beds and see where the fish are moving to.
If the wife's making you take her out for a pontoon boat ride, there's no reason you can't have the fish finder on and recording where you're seeing things and, you know, making marks on the Navionics app to make sure that you have the notes for next year.
Well, that Markham flasher unit with the integrated GPS and Android app would be just awesome.
Oh, yeah. I wish those guys would really make that one for us. We keep telling those guys over there, and I don't know why they just don't build that for us. But we're the MI Ice Guys. We podcast hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State, and we drink a little beer, too. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, you got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MI Ice Guys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Guys, welcome back. And, you know, Facebook is a great thing. We've got a lot of things going on out there with Team USA, the MI Ice Guys page. Get those photos up there. You're going to find a lot of them that are going to keep your heart passionate about ice fishing all summer. So go ahead and keep going on that. It's also a great way to kind of build up your schedule on what tournaments are going to be. As summer progresses and fall starts, they're going to start announcing different tournament series.
And your seminars and start getting
announced. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some seminars. And actually, guys, that's a good point. If you, well, maybe you own a bait shop, maybe you work at one, maybe you just good buddies with the guys there. If you'd like to have the ice guys come over and stuff, tell them to reach out. Contact us. We did a number of seminars last year and had a really great time doing that. And it's kind of fun because our sponsors do provide some prizes and gifts and stuff. I think almost everybody left with a jig at least almost every time we did a seminar.
Yeah, last year we did a little seminar on tournament secrets to give you guys some hints and some help out there on the ice to get your limit out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for. And so just reach out to us. We've got a thing on the website on miiceguys.com where you can ask an ice guy a question. And don't be afraid to ask an ice guy a question all summer long. Maybe you're getting into those equipment deals we talked about in the last segment. And you want to, hey, do you think this is a good deal? You know, is this going to work for us on that stuff? And
you could probably ask about any question, too. It doesn't
just have
to be ice fishing.
As soon as we get done we'll with our day of fishing and working and drinking, we'll answer you.
It could be on, you know, quad modifications to make your gear work better for you out there on the ice. If you're having a problem attaching your auger or what have you.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask. And, guys, remember that we're always thinking about ice fishing. Even when we're out there on the boat or standing in the river, whatever we're doing, we're always got ice fishing in the back of our minds on this stuff. Now, I thought we'd wrap up today with just a little bit of a crazy storytelling about what's the wildest thing we saw on the ice this year. Now, I saw this guy out on Reed's Lake, and I'm not dissing him or anything like this, but he had almost a pontoon boat of a sled. This thing was 8 foot wide, had pop-up, it had rigs for toolboxes and stuff like this. Big high runners, but his big high runners actually made it through that deep snow where everybody else was getting bogged down. And I thought that was the coolest thing, but it was one big apparatus that he had to put together when he took it out of his truck. And I think, it got me thinking, maybe I need to fabricate myself up something wild like that. What'd you see out there this year, Steph?
My biggest thing I saw out there this year, I was out on Reed's on a Saturday. I was out there coming out, walking on the ice. There's like two other guys out there. And I'm like, where is everybody? It's late season. And there's this gentleman out there with a camera, with his son, trying to use a camera to catch fish. And I'm like, all right, well, how you guys doing? Talk to him and stuff. All right, well, I'll let you know if I get into him. So I went over there, and I went over to where we normally go, and I'm like, all right, marking fish. Caught one, caught two, caught three, caught four. All right, go get them. Come on over here, guys. Bring your camera over here, and oh, the fish are here. Came sure. on. But they get over there to me, and they got these, like, number 10 snap swivels hooked to, like, walleye jigs on their baits. And I'm like, all right, here, this, yeah, we got to address some issues. So I open my jig box. And I'm like, all right, well, here, take this one. Couple of tungstens out.
Did they also have the 10-pound test on there?
At least six-pound test. And it was like, man, it's going to be hard. So I gave him a heavier weight jig, like the 5 mils.
Yep.
And got him down there and gave him some plastics, got him going. And the dad caught a couple, but the kid couldn't catch any. So I would hook into him, let him reel him in, and send him home with probably 16 panfish crappies from Reed. So they were real happy about that. So that was fun, and they got to learn a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I should, because he had just bought the camera, and he's like, maybe I'll take this back and get a flasher. And I'm like, that probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the cameras have their places.
But always flasher first.
Flasher first.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. What did you see out there this year, Chad?
Oh, mine's probably just the different styles of fishing. When I go overseas, you always get to see something, catch new fish, learn how to do it. And then one of the tournaments we did, one of the guys had the Hummingbird 360 mounted to his four-wheeler with like a drop arm to get down in the hole. That was something a little bit different. I think two or three tournament teams had 360s, you know, rolling around $3,000 fish finders for ice fishing tournaments. It's crazy what people will bring.
$3,000 fish finder on an $8,000 quad. And
probably like a $10,000 quad.
They shop the same store where Steph does? I see.
You get to see some crazy stuff, what people will bring out. There's always been a couple teams at side imaging, but the 360 is a new one. And then I guess catching the bream overseas, you know, just learning how to get whooped on some bream.
What are the bream like? Are they like a...
Like a shad. They're like a big... shad.
They're a bluegill-sized shad, right?
Oh, no, bigger than that.
Bigger?
Well, I mean, they get up to, like, I don't know, a big one over there was probably 20 inches. 20, wow. 22 inches.
Damn.
Was a big one. Their body shape is similar to a crappie, but probably closer to, like, a shad. That style, they get tall, but they stay, you know, maybe 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
They're big. There's some on the USA Ice Team Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw some on there, and I think I included some.
Yeah.
I think if you YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yep.
I know in Angler Magazine, when I wrote the articles about your adventure of preparing and traveling and competing in the worlds, I think we included a picture there on that. So
they're extremely slimy.
Extremely slimy. Well, yeah, you were telling us that your suit was slimed after a day of fishing there.
My sweatshirt.
And then the slime would stick to his hands, which would, they're using 1 pound test.
Yeah, it was hard to hand line them because you couldn't get the line off your hands. It made it a little bit more difficult because we'd never caught a bream, nobody on the team, until we got over there. So, and it was a bream tournament, wow, which isn't good when you have never even seen one.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I thought we might just touch on a little bit, it's a conversation we had a while back. As you're preparing this summer, and we mentioned that we're probably going to do a little fundraiser where it's come out, meet the ice guys, buy a plate, and help us get Chad and Steph off to Finland. But also, the topic came up as we were talking about some of the different equipment and things that we're going to be preparing for with next year. What kind of new equipment are you looking at maybe learning to use?
Well, I'm probably going to get a smaller camera, maybe a more mobile camera. Probably have to buy some jigs. I don't know. Hopefully no new fish finder, but you never know what they're going to come out with this year.
Yeah, if those guys over at Markham had come out with that Android-based GPS Wi-Fi unit with
The stars align and Chaz's dreams come true.
That would be absolutely wonderful and great.
I'm sure they're working on something.
Oh, I hope so. I'd love to be able to interface with my Android phone, take it home, and have it download up in and update all the maps and depths. Would
build the database for Markham or whatever vendor has this.
Sure. And everybody'd get
technology.
Updated.
Yep.
So if that comes out, everybody buy one, all right?
It would just build their database of lake knowledge and depths, and it'd be great.
Well, guys, it's been a little bit shorter show than we normally do, but it is the end of the season. It's time to get back into the, out on the river for some steelhead and start talking about where those gills are going to be popping up on the beds in the next few weeks. So,
gear up for bass fishing.
Gear up for bass fishing.
You know,
yep. It's time to get
the
long. Boat.
Time to get the boats really ready for that. So, guys, it's been an awesome season. It's been a ton of fun.
Yep.
Bringing you guys some information and meeting you when we're out and about. So.
Have fun this summer. Mark those weed beds when you're out there summertime fishing, because a lot of times those could be your hot spots, early season ice next year.
Yep, your tree, your sunken trees, anything like that.
Or any little holes or something you might find out there on the lake.
If you anybody might... gets a side imager, let us know. We're the MI Ice Guys, miiceguys.com. Podcasting, kind of signing off for the warm weather. So we will talk to you next fall. MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.